Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Don Jackson, and I'm representing Mr. Muhammad. I have a couple of points that I want to raise today. The first one is the district court, in dismissing this case, treated it solely as a sexual orientation case and therefore dismissed it basically on the premise that sexual harassment or sexual orientation discrimination was not covered by Title VII. We have never treated this case as a sexual orientation case. In fact, that term was introduced by Caterpillar, not by Mr. Muhammad. You'll note the pleadings. The pleadings simply say this is a sexual harassment and a racial harassment case and a hostile work environment case. In investigating what was going on against Mr. Muhammad, Caterpillar concluded that it was based on his sexual orientation in a memorandum which is attached to the deposition of the supervisor, Kip Edwards, in this case.
You know, you argue that it's conceivable to believe that Mr. Muhammad was harassed because he was a male who did not act like a male rather than because of his sexual orientation. But what I'm wondering is what evidence did you present on summary judgment to allow that inference? In other words, did you present any evidence at all as to how he acted or how he was perceived?
Well, in fact, he didn't act any different than any other man in the in the workplace. He was attacked on a daily basis about sex, about race, and in rather graphic terms. But there's no evidence at all that he ever discussed his sexual preferences, his sexual orientation, or anything of that matter. This was an attack on him by them, and he responded properly by going to the Human Resources Department and complaining about it. And so how the court concluded that it was sexual preference or sexual orientation is beyond me, since the only reference to that is that memorandum from Caterpillar that was introduced into this case. But in terms of there's no discussions, no interfacing, no interaction between the other males and the females on the line that he worked on that would give anybody the right to conclude that he was other than a male in the plant doing his job. And so how, in essence, we believe this is not a sexual orientation case, although I'm not so clear that the trend in the cases, even from the Supreme Court, isn't such that sexual orientation will if not soon, be included under the protection of Title VII. The other thing that we had problems with in this case, ma'am, was the court's decision that there was no harassment or no retaliation in this case. You know, this is almost, in my judgment, a classic case of retaliation, because when he went to his supervisor to complain about the writings on the walls, the graphic writings on the walls, and the racial harassment that he was subjected to, he got no response from Kip Edwards, even though the court concluded that Edwards immediately took action to take care of the writings on the men's restroom.
Well, would you concede that the wall was repainted within that three-day period?
It was repainted three times.
Right.
Right.
But the first time was within 3 days.
But within 3 days, and when it was not repainted in accordance with the court almost immediately, he went to Mr. Edwards' boss, Boyd Johnson, which is proper as far as I'm concerned, that he reported it up the line of chain of command.
And then there was a meeting, and then, so is it your position that Caterpillar was required to keep investigating until it discovered who was drawing the graffiti?
I certainly agree
with that. Like it ended?
I certainly believe that, and I think the cases, the court's case and Chrysler case out of Rockford seems to say as much, that Caterpillar owed a duty not to Mr. Muhammad to investigate this case and to try to find out who the perpetrators were that were writing on the men's restroom.
You're saying that employers that stop further harassment should still be liable under Title VII if they can't identify the perpetrator.
But they really didn't stop the harassment in this case, Your Honor. He continued, first of all, up to the point that he was suspended, allegedly because he walked away from the supervisor. We believe the discussion between the two of them before he was suspended indicates it was because he went to Boyd Johnson with his complaints, the next person up the line. He then was suspended, came back to work, and when he came back to work, within 8 days he was suspended and ultimately fired again. But the problem is Caterpillar did not follow their own harassment policy, which says that they should do an investigation. All they did was went out on the line and said to the employees, look, whoever's doing this, you better stop it or you'll get fired because you're defacing Caterpillar property. But not once did they call in individual employees to try to find out who the artist was with the graffiti in the men's restroom. Contrast that with the end of the story, where when he came back from the second suspension, when the employee said, okay, we'll stop writing on the walls, but now Muhammad's coming in here and he's yelling and screaming and allegedly threatening employees with physical harm, Caterpillar in fact did call each employee in individually, took a statement from them, including Muhammad, and based on those statements, those unsigned, unverified statements, that Muhammad did what they say he did, and they fired him. Now, Muhammad filed an affidavit under oath and in writing and signed that he didn't do those things, and that the employees were simply carrying on the conspiracy to drive him out of the workplace by now alleging he was a bad employee in the workplace. Curiously, Kip Edwards, the supervisor, who apparently saw on a daily basis, not apparently, but did see on a daily basis the employees in the plant, said that he did not observe any of this conduct against Muhammad that was alleged by the employees in those statements, nor was he dissatisfied when he came back from suspension with his work performance. So the employees, in my judgment, got what they tried to do with the racial and sexual harassment by alleging that he was doing all this misconduct and gave these unsigned, unsworn statements to the HR department, which led to his discharge. Now, we raised that in a motion to strike, and the district court allowed them to submit during summary judgment signed affidavits, but it seems to me that just creates a material fact question that should be decided by the jury once those we got competing affidavits by two sides of this story, and this court in its decision, I think September 19, 2013, and the United States versus $100,000, reiterated its position that affidavits generally will be sufficient to create an issue of fact for trial and thereby avoiding summary judgment. The other thing I wanted to raise was the question of one of the things that the district court did find was that the threat against Muhammad by the artist, the graffiti artist, who it's obvious from what happened in this case, it was people on the line that he worked on, that was sufficient to survive summary judgment. But yet, the court said, we're not going to give, we're going to grant summary judgment because Muhammad didn't say he was frightened by those statements. Well, I researched that issue trying to find any case that would say that you have to, he would have to make a statement that I was sorely afraid of my life as a result of those threats. It seems to me the fact that he went to the HR department each and every time he had a problem with either race or sex, You know, this was a daily barrage on this guy over a six-month period of time. And it's not just mere utterances. This was an intent to drive this man from the workplace by the non-African-American employees on the line, including the women on the line. So, frankly, Your Honor, we're asking that the decision to grant summary judgment in this case was erroneous. We'd ask that you would vacate it and send it back for trial. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jackson? Mr. Torres.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. My name is Jason Torres, and I represent Defendant Caterpillar Appellee. I want to start with a couple of things that Mr. Muhammad argued in his opening remarks, the first of which being that Mr. Muhammad is not pursuing a claim based on his sexual orientation, and that language derived from something that Caterpillar had raised in a brief. In fact, in Mr. Muhammad's deposition, when asked why he thought he was being harassed, or whether he was being harassed because he's a male, he indicated a male being a bisexual. And consistent with that deposition testimony, Mr. Muhammad argued in opposition to Caterpillar's motion for summary judgment that the coworker comments and graffiti in the men's room were referring to, quote, his sexual orientation and were the product of some homophobic who loved to write on the restroom walls. Mr. Muhammad even argued in this appeal that the comments were directed at him by other male employees because he was a male they believed to be a homosexual. That's in his brief at page 6. Perhaps the most telling is in his statement of the issues in his brief, where, and I quote, he asked this court to determine whether the district court erred in granting summary judgment on plaintiff appellant's claims of hostile work environment based on his race and sexual orientation. Now, in response to Judge Rovner's question to Mr. Muhammad's counsel, we would agree that it's possible to state a claim for sexual harassment based on allegations of not being a stereotypical male or stereotypical female, but we would posit that the record is void of any evidence in that respect. In response to Judge Williams' question regarding the standard to which an employer has in responding to co-worker harassment, we would certainly disagree with Mr. Muhammad's statement that after the harassment had stopped, Mr. Caterpillar would have had an obligation to continue to investigate in an attempt to identify who was creating this anonymous graffiti. We think the courts in this circuit and the Supreme Court are relatively clear with respect to the standard, and it's that Caterpillar and employers need to take steps that are reasonably calculated to stop future harassment. One other thing that I want to comment on that Mr. Muhammad's counsel raised is with respect to retaliation. It's somewhat telling that he is now not pointing the finger at Kip Edwards, who was Mr. Muhammad's supervisor. In fact, I believe he argued that Kip Edwards didn't have any problems with Mr. Muhammad when he had returned from his suspension, that it was his coworker's fault, and his coworkers were somehow getting together and attempting to get Mr. Muhammad out of the workplace. It's telling because in Mr. Muhammad's deposition, he testified very clearly, unequivocally, that the only person at Caterpillar that discriminated against him, harassed him, or retaliated against him was Kip Edwards.
Graffiti dealt with a racial slur and suggested that the person should be killed. And your position is that's not sufficiently severe to create a hostile work environment.
Judge Williams, we understand that that is our weakest argument, and it's not something we'd like to distract from our strongest argument, which is our response to the graffiti. We understand that that's a difficult line for the court to draw at the summary judgment stage.
And there were five incidents as well as it related to the hostile work environment, right? There were a number of incidents. I understand your position is your response to it should end it.
That's correct, Your Honor. And with respect to the incidents that there were three incidences of graffiti, I believe, that occurred over the course of approximately 21 days. The record's not clear that in each of those instances there was graffiti of a racial nature, and then there were a handful of comments that were made by coworkers. I believe there were three or four comments that were made by coworkers over the course of approximately 6 to 7 months. And in each instance, I think the record is very clear that Caterpillar took prompt remedial actions and that ultimately the harassment was eradicated and it was stopped. And if there are no further questions, Your Honors, I think that the record is relatively clear that Caterpillar met its burden to respond to harassment in a way that was reasonably calculated to stop future harassment. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.